had just begun. The Germans had the biggest ship that had the biggest guns. The Bismarck was the fastest ship that ever sailed the sea. On her decks were guns as big as steers and shells as big as trees. Out of the cold and foggy night came the British ship, the Hood. And every British seaman he knew and understood. They had to sink the Bismarck, the terror of the sea. Stop those guns as big as steers and those shells as big as trees.
We find that German battleship that's making such a fuss. We gotta sink the Bismarck cause the world depends on us.
Hit the decks are running, boys, and spin those guns around.
When we find the Bismarck, we gotta cut her down.
The Hood found the Bismarck, and on that fatal day,
the Bismarck started firing 15 miles away. We gotta sink the Bismarck was the battle sound.
But when the smoke had cleared away, the mighty Hood went down. For 6 long days and weary nights, they tried to find her trail.
Churchill told the people, put every ship a sail. Cause somewhere on that ocean, I know she's gotta be.
We gotta sink the Bismarck to the bottom of the sea.
We find that German battleship that's making such a fuss. We gotta sink the Bismarck cause the world depends on us.
Hit the decks are running, boys, and spin those guns around.
When we find the Bismarck, we gotta cut her down.
The fog was gone the seventh day and they saw the morning sun.
10 hours away from homeland, the Bismarck made its run. The admiral of the British fleet said, turn those bows around.
We found that German battleship and we're gonna cut her down. The British guns were aimed and the shells were coming fast.
The first shell hit the Bismarck, they knew she couldn't last. That mighty German battleship is just a memory.
Sink the Bismarck was the battle cry that shook the seven seas.
We found that German battleship was making such a fuss. We had to sink the Bismarck cause the world depends on us.
We hit the deck a-running and we spun those guns around. Yeah, we found that mighty Bismarck and we said we cut her down.
We found that German battleship was making such a fuss. We had to sink the Bismarck cause the world depends on us.
We hit the deck a-running and we spun those guns around.
We found that mighty Bismarck and then we cut her down.
Hello everyone, this is Raving Rendell back from vacation, and we are on Reapsell Radio, and there's a reason for that is because I've pretty much officially given up on Pulse Radio. It has nothing to do with Christy or Gaz or Lee or anybody there. They're all sweet people. It's just, God, sorry, my mouse is acting up. It keeps giving me that little, trying to drag.
A woman in Great Falls was sentenced to 30 years in prison.
I don't know what the fuck is going on, but I do not like this.
The side of the crib 5 times.
Because it tried the same thing.
On the radio and leaving the room.
Because right before this,
it did not die, but it is now blind and brain damaged.
God, what the hell is going on here?
Still has a chance of winning a geography quiz against Sarah. In Minnesota!
Okay, stopped. My mouse is fucking up. My phone just died. I still don't know what did that. Fuck you. Jesus fucking Christ. Sorry, you guys, if you aren't used to me swearing by now, fuck all of you. I've been doing this for 4 years. If you aren't used to it, get a fucking life, because that's what I do. Even unplugging it. What in God's name is going on here? Well, you're going to have to deal with some very crappy show today, because my mouse has fucked up. It will not stop trying to drag things, no matter what I do. I don't know why. I don't know what the fuck's going on. It is bound determined to drag everywhere. So I cannot just click a single thing. I cannot move it. Maybe that'll get it. Who knows? No, of course not. Yes, I'm throwing a fit because this is the first day that I've tried to do this after 3 weeks of being gone. So this is the first time in a month I've been home and I've tried this, and it isn't working. I don't know what is doing this. It's not doing it on anything else, just on Sam. So, yeah, not doing that on anything else. It's just Sam for some reason. And of course, it's in the cue box, which is everything that controls all the sound and all the music. So, forgive me if this show sucks donkey balls for the music, but it's unavoidable because something is fucked. I don't know what it is, but it won't stop. Anyway, and to kick it off, yeah, my handset died. Get it out eventually. Wonderful show so far. And what, you know, just massive amounts of people listening. Why the fuck I even bothered to do this for you guys? I don't know. I made it an event. I made it an event at 10 in the fucking morning. I invited 26 people. 5 of which were on at the time. No one listening. Really makes you wonder sometime. I wonder what I'm up to. Maybe, you know, I said at number 200 I'd stop. Maybe it's at number 200, and you know what? I can say fuck you to all of you. And just drop it now. Because this is a month now. Actually, this is well more than a month that nobody's been in here. And I'm not talking because I know I wasn't here. For a while, but 186. Okay, excuse me. 187. 188. 189. 190. 191. 92. 93, 94, 95, 96. So show number 197. At this rate, I won't make it to 200. I'm sorry, I'm not seeing the point. I still don't hear anything from anybody. Wairu will comment every now and then. One person has been reliable in commenting. I'll go to 200 because I said I would, but at this point, Rendell's ravings will be dead after number 200. So, don't expect much from me, because you sure as fuck haven't helped. Yes, I'm bitching at you guys, the listeners, because where are you? Where's the feedback? Where's any indication, aside from downloads, that any of you are even listening? Anyway, I'm on Reepso Radio because Reep is a lovely person, so is Polly. I've been talking to them for a while. Listen to their shows whenever I can remember that they're on. And they said, if you want to come on here, you go on here. I still want to do finite exposure. We still will be on Wednesdays, you know, 2 to whenever. I just can't do Rendell's Ravings anymore. I mean, I don't give a fuck if nobody listens on Finite Exposure. I really don't, because it's me getting together with Cody. We're having fun. We're getting our thoughts out. Calvin... Oh, fuck it. I don't care if I'm not using the right names. Well, he'll come over. He came over for the last one, which... Cody still hasn't posted yet, and I made sure he had the link before I left on vacation. I don't know what that's all about. But it was just one of those deals. It's like, that's fun for me. This isn't fun for me. It hasn't been fun for me for months. But it was something that I thought people expected of me. I thought it was something that people wanted me to do. No feedback, nobody in the room. What's the point? Yes, it's cathartic. But you know what? At this point, I'll shut down the weekly thing. I'll just put up a rant every now and then. And that'll be it. There's no more reason. I don't know that there's honestly been a reason for a while now. So... I've just been fooling myself, and I'm very good at that. So, speaking of podcasts or shows, Greetings from Nowhere. Christina and Nicole, if you have not listened to them, they're up to like 22 now, I think. 21 or 22. I've missed a couple because I was on vacation. But I just listened to their recent one. And they are wonderful people. Really fun to listen to. Talked about doing Hamlet, being interviewed. There was a person who started up at what they call in the podcast studio, where they interview podcasters, and the first two episodes are an interview with Nicole and Christina. Now, I'm sorry, I would consider that a high honor to even be on the show, but to be picked for the premiere episodes is a very high honor. I think that they very well deserve it, even with as little as they've been doing compared to me, you know, because I know a lot of people will say, well, they're only at show 20 or whatever. They're just that good. They've known each other a while. They know what each other's ins and outs are. They know what buttons they can push safely so they can have fun with each other. It is really nice to hear that. I love listening to them every chance I get. I love when I'm talking to them, you know, when they come down for meetings for the board. You know, we'll sit there and if they're off to the side, I won't talk, but I'll go and I'll stand and I'll listen to them because it is a lot of fun to listen to them. So please, download Greetings from Nowhere. I put up the webpage for the podcast themselves. Visitnowhere.com is their actual blog, if you want to keep up with that. They have a couple of contests going on right now. And the podcast page will let you know where to write in. One is Cuts from Nowhere, which I do want to take a picture of Shadow and Lita and send in. And then they have coming up with a jingle or a radio ad or something. No music, no nothing. It's just a spot. You know, you are listening to Greetings from Nowhere with your wonderful co-hosts, Christina and Nicole. There's mine. You know, I'll just take out the or maybe I'll flash it up a little bit more. But that's what I mean. I would take that and send it into them, and they'll play it. So, and what they don't know is what I want to do is I want to, if not for this, for finite exposure, I want, when they decide on what the ad is going to be, I want to play that during the show because I think they deserve it. I think they are a wonderful up-and-coming show. They know what they're doing. It sounds like they've been at it a lot longer than they have because they've been talking to each other for so long. They've got a good rapport, and that is what you need. So, also, 2 cents is back, 2 cents 2.2. It is a video podcast now. New show live every Saturday. His first Saturday show is this weekend. I managed to come in at my favorite segment of all time, which was the Gore News. It's 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and they will be doing it every week as far as I know, and you can bet your ass I'll be in the Ustream room every week. And yes, the link does go to the Ustream channel. I didn't listen to fully a couple of them. I stopped at the news and the Gore News on a couple. Not a big fan of a couple of the segments. They have one from Witchy Bunny, who is a sweet lady. Sounds really cool. It's just her thing is the top frags of the week. Really cool. Probably a lot of people like it. I just don't game that much. I don't. It's a bathroom break for me, and it's not anything against Witchy Bunny. Not at all. I like Witchy Bunny. I think she sounds cool. It's just not a segment for me. Spaz Fox, that was cool. Jim Bob, Billy Bob, I think is his name. I guess he's kind of humorous. He does a stupid redneck shtick. It's just hard for me to listen to. I mean, it's too long. You know, he can go off for like 2 or 3 minutes, and that should be just like a little 30-second thing. You know, come in, do like Hoofcast, I think, used to do This Is the Truth. Well, it's his thing, it's called The Truth, but they had some little thing where this little hick would go, oh yeah, and then I did, and it was stupid, but it was like 30 seconds. That's perfect. Because if you listen to that for too long, at least for me, it starts hurting my head. Because it almost sounds like people are trying to sound stupid. I can't handle that. If you're being stupid fun, okay, but living with Angela has really turned me off to stupid humor. There are a couple of things like Mel Brooks, but that's because sometimes it's even self-parodying. So, you know, parody I still don't mind. It's just when things are deliberately dumb. Can't do it. I just can't. I can't appreciate it. Now, that being said, I think that they are doing really good. I've thought a little bit about, you know, sending in a segment, but part of me is like, I can't even, you know, I've given up on a show. You know, what would I do? I've run out of ideas. I've been out of ideas for years now. But maybe do like a little 2 minute thing, 2 or 3 minute thing. But yeah, excuse me, I knew that was coming, it just took it a minute. Maybe I will. I'll write to 2 and say, do you, you know. Now, here's the problem. with Vista. Vista does not recognize any of my webcams. It doesn't recognize my Microsoft one. It doesn't recognize the Crystal Cam. The software itself will do it, but it'll only capture video. It won't capture audio. Windows Media Maker, I think they're on that 2.something. Now, I've always had trouble with that. I wish I could find the one. Uninstall this crap and put in the old one, because the old one was pretty good about reading things. It's just the new one, I can't. That's why I used to use to make Matt Ullman In, and that's why Matt Ullman In has been off for so long, is because I figured, okay, new laptop, I'll do it from here. I haven't been able to make one video since I got this thing, because for some reason just won't do it. It will not find it, and I can't do it. And it pisses me off, because I love making them. I just don't have a computer that'll do it anymore. I've been really tempted to see if there is a Vista webcam. I mean, I know that sounds really stupid. They shouldn't have to have those, but I'm starting to think that's about the only way I'll get it done. But you never know. Maybe at some point you'll see me on 2 cents. Who knows? He is talking about in September, I think he said. He's going to be at the comedy shop in West Hollywood. I think that's the name of it. And there's going to be like 4 or 5 comics, and he's going to be one of them. And they said if he does really good, he might get a show on Comedy Central. I would love to go down there. You know, and I wrote him, I said, you know, I'm at the point now, I may have a feasible way to make it, but I need help, you know. I can't do it myself. So, we'll see. Maybe I'll hear back from him, maybe I won't. But either way, I do wish to all the greatest luck. He's been at it for a decade at least, that I remember. So, it'd be really good for him, I think. Because he has certainly got the ability. Anyway, I'm going to play the Gore News, this last Gore News. Warning now, not safe for work. Probably going to offend quite a few people. But, oh, fuck you. Basically, this is something I find quite humorous. I have since they started. And it's one of those things that I'm a giggly person. And when I can be very good, it's just usually what gets me is somebody else starting to laugh. When somebody else starts it up, I'm doomed. I just can't do it. And Jibba has the most infectious laugh to me that I think I've ever run across. Now, like I said, some of these are not nice. Some of them are actually quite sad. It's just, I have to laugh because he's laughing. It doesn't care. Somebody could say that they walked up to a lady and 5 kids, bukkakeed over them, and then curb stomped them. If he's laughing, I know it's disgusting, but I have to laugh because he is so fun to listen to, and even more fun to watch. I highly recommend watching these just for the Gore News, because even if you think what they're saying is completely disgusting, just watch him. I can't remember which one it was, but he has a little, like a dishcloth that he'll put over his face so he can laugh into. He put it over his mouth, two said something, he fell back in his chair where his face was just up and the cloth was sitting and his arms were down, and he just didn't move for like 30 seconds. I don't remember what it was, but it literally, I mean, they talk about breaking him in kind of a joke, but that literally did. It's like he overloaded and he couldn't think of what to do, so he just laid there. It was really cute. So, here is their most recent, this was on a Saturday, Gore News.
In Minnesota! Oh God, we don't have much time for this. A woman in Great Falls was sentenced to 30 years in prison after accidentally dropping her baby against the side of the crib 5 times. Then turning on the radio and leaving the room. The baby did not die, but it is now blind and brain damaged. On the bright side, it still has a chance of winning a geography quiz against Sarah Palin when it grows up. So, yeah. She just, I guess, got tired, accidentally just dropped the kid.
Maybe she
five times.
Oops! Butterfingers.
Yeah, this gives a new meaning to the term crib death, which, you know, yeah. Oh God, that was Keelix. Okay, Keelix is on the chat, says, Sarah Palin own count one. Come on now! What could Sarah Palin possibly own except fail?
And she owns a pregnant daughter.
She does own that. That I'm hoping for a prom night dumpster baby.
Suddenly the baby disappears.
It'll be in here. It'll be right in here.
Miss Palin, what happened to your daughter's baby?
This is baby. What happened to her? Bye bye.
Well, you know.
Well, there you go again, John. You know, it's just I can see Russia from my bedroom window, and you know they're firing missiles at my cunt all day long, and
my cunt just swallows them up, you know.
Yeah, whatever. In Japan, local officials in Tokyo stopped by an elderly resident's house to congratulate him on his 111th birthday, only to find he'd been laying there dead for 30 years. His relatives told the police...
That one took a second.
His relatives told police that he confined himself in his bedroom 30 years ago and told everyone not to bother him. So, they didn't. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. Continuing on. Thank you very much. In Croatia...
What?
Croatia.
I know we're Croatia. We have news.
Like all good Catholic parents, a couple brought their 6-week-old baby to a priest to be baptized. The priest happily obliged and baptized the baby.
Oh my God.
And drowned it. Naturally, everyone was shocked and amazed to learn the babies can't breathe underwater. Now, the question on everyone's mind is, did the baby actually go to heaven? Since it was in the middle of this. Jimmy, you gonna be okay? You gonna make it, man? Broken Jibba cam right here. There we go. That's hello. Oh, and the Jibba finger cam. Oh my God.
No! I'm just a baby.
Just imagine a baby going underwater. Blah, 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 blah.
I don't understand. Don't the parents know that when the babies get baptized, they just sprinkle water on their head?
No.
Know that?
This one dunked him, and I read the whole story. They thought they actually had this feeling that, you know, he was doing something wrong, but they thought, he's a priest. He's got to know what he's doing. Even though our baby is sitting under the water bubbling and shit, he must know Jesus will save the little tyke.
How long did he keep the baby under there? Because even when you get baptized, really, it's just a dunking back up.
Dunked him three times. Dunked the baby three times.
He must have thought the baby was a demon.
I guess so. I don't know.
Screaming demons, Will.
Yeah, screaming. Go, demon.
Go, demon.
We're all for the demons this weekend. I'm going to totally back their team this weekend. I'm not usually for sports, but the demons, that's the team for this weekend. Demons.
Ooh, I'm so happy.
What happened?
Football starts next month.
Oh, that's right. That's right. In South Carolina, a guy who had just a little bit too much to drink at a bar was so intent on impressing his friends that he decided to demonstrate how much of an idiot he could be by reaching out and touching a passing train. Just for fun. Unfortunately, the train had not eaten all day and seized the opportunity to grab the drunken fool and chew him into mangled little stupid pieces until he felt really embarrassed and was dead.
I don't know if he felt embarrassed.
I think maybe for just a split second. Wow, eaten by a train. I'm embarrassed. It would embarrass me if I got eaten by a train. I don't know about you.
For a split second? Yeah, I can see that.
In Italy, a high-spirited wedding photographer thought it would be just priceless to get a photo of the bride and groom posing with guns in their hands.
Oh, my God.
The couple got into the act and posed in various different funny ways. The photographer found this greatly amusing right up until a bullet went through his head and confused him until he was dead. Police say the shooting was an accident. Yeah. Say cheap. That, the end of that. That's the way that goes. You can't die yet. Jibba broke cam. Jibba broke cam. Broken jibba cam. There it is. You're the broken jibba cam. Right here. Come on. Broken jibba. Broken jibba. Broken eye. That is the jibba. Alright. Finally. You gotta save it. You gotta save some up for this one. Finally in England. A 4-year-old boy who was playing hide and seek with his friends was found inside the laundry room dryer where he had been tumbled for over an hour until he was dead. The mother had turned on the dryer not knowing the little boy was in there and was apparently oblivious as to why it was making noise like a confused Korean prostitute being kicked down the stairs. Good Lord, Jibba. I think he's not going to... Here, the coverage of... Don't think he's going to make it. That one's easy, yeah. My God. It's full of stars. Now, don't tell me you never crawled into a dryer when you were a kid. I did. The only problem is my mother didn't turn it the fuck on. Didn't turn it on. I mean, there may have been some banging or something. She didn't walk away with some shit screaming like, you know, like she was drying bricks with a pygmy in there. And to say, oh, that must be normal. I'll go off and watch the soaps. That never happened to me. But I apparently, in some places, we dry bricks.
I'm done.
And screaming pygmies.
I'm done. I'm not doing
in the dry.
I'm done. It's over. No more show for Jibba. I'm done. You know, fuck this.
Well, you know what?
And I just heard back from two. He gave me the name of of the Amtrak station that'd be over there. Union Station, I guess. And so I'm going to see what I can come up with. It's $10 or $15 at the door, so it's like, Jesus Christ, that's cheap. I mean, shit, our theater costs more than that. And we're up here in nowhere. So, what day? I'm kind of trying to poke about and see what I can find for, like, a place to stay over. But, yeah, 2 cents is just absolutely wonderful to listen to for me. It's really good because I really, really have had... I've always had problems letting go. You know, I'm the one who stands back in the corner, and I'm the wallflower, and I'm the one who people just kind of don't expect much from. And that's not good or bad. It's just that's how people see me. So, anyway, I'm just kind of putzing about, seeing what I can do here. September 16th. Just kind of checking through Travelocity and seeing what they have. Oh, fuck this. $239. course, these are huge fucking hotels. Well, here's one for 107. Here's one for 139. That's a Ramada. Ramada are good. Days Inn for 79. Comfort Inn. I've stayed at a few of those. Super 8. God, that thing looks like it should be in a... It's huge. Hollywood Stars. Super 8, actually. Well, these are only like 2 and 1 star hotels. But it's like, I'd be going over there probably after I was done with the show, crashing and then turning around and going home again. So it's not like it would be a major big thing. But $80 is not all that bad. It'd be about $100. Oh, by state, province. What was I doing? Anyway. Well, they don't have Union Station. Huh. I'll have to ask him where the... Well, he sent me an email. I'll check it up later. It would be literally going down one day, you know, going to it, coming back the next. So it might even be, actually, it might even be easier to go down on, probably the cheapest would honestly probably be to fly. I just can't bring myself to do it. But, yeah. What else? Well, vacation is over. I'm back. I had a wonderful time. Did get sunburned, but that happens. You know, when you're having fun, you don't really think about it too much. So... I don't fault that. I had had a lovely time. I think it was probably one of the best vacations I've had. Number one, it was longer. Number two, we actually went and did something. The first week, we went up to Bacchus in Cass County, Minnesota. Beautiful country up there. I don't even think it was 400. In fact, I know it wasn't even 400 people. And the first thing out of my mouth was, if I could find a way, I'd move there. It was that beautiful. I mean, it really was. We had a little three-bedroom cabin, and I slept on the futon, or slept on the hideaway bed, and just, you know, wasn't too big. It wasn't even the same size as our apartment here. Of course, ours is a 4, but I think it may have been like 800 square feet or something. But it was big enough. You know, it had one bathroom, 3 bedrooms, good-sized kitchen, good-sized living room. That's all you need. It had a screened-in porch. So you had almost no bugs, despite it being very humid. There were no bugs in the place. One wasp did find its way in, like, 2 or 3 days before we left, but I saw him, and I shut the window. So he was trapped in there until we left, and then they probably let him out. So, but that was very fun. Had my not wanting kids very firmly, backed by that. I don't want them. So, no, I kind of hate to say that, because it's probably not very nice. But, on the other hand, I just don't like kids. I like kids when they're like Matthew's age, when I came out, like 5 years old. They can walk around, they can take a shit. You know, they're potty trained. You know, they're pretty much independent. They don't need me for a lot of things. You know, for food, yes. But not, you know, it's not a life or death thing. Like, it can be on some of them. So, and Charlotte and Sophie, Charlotte was just over 1, Sophie was just over 3, and Charlotte just would not shut up. She was crying a lot. Sophie wasn't too bad. It's just, I really felt uncomfortable around Charlotte. And that's, like I said, one of the things I was teasing Claire And I teach Laura about this, too. It's like, you two have enough kids. I don't need kids anymore. You know, fuck it. I don't care. I don't want them. I'll go, I know this is going to make me sound like a deadbeat. I'll go father a kid and I'll come back when he's five, or it's five. Because then I can handle it. Otherwise, I just am too short. I don't have the mental capability to do it. It's just not there. So, but that they were fun. I love seeing my sister. I got to meet a lovely lady, Bonnie, who's her adopted sister. In a way, not legally. It's just one of those little, you know, chuckle things. Very nice. I haven't really gotten a chance to talk to her lately. Or really at all after that. But it was just one of those things. It's like, okay, hey there. So, then came back, kind of putzed around for a week, and then I had Claire's wedding. Claire's wedding, you would almost think, was doomed to fail, because her husband came down, was standing at the altar, and when she was getting ready to be led down, her four daughters gave her away. When she was being led down, just as they were getting ready, they had a phone call saying that her grandma had died, her father's mother. I mean, literally, like, 2 minutes before this was supposed to happen. So I was like, oh, fuck. You know, that's harsh. But, on the plus side, they had one of the greatest weddings I've never had so much fun in a church. And I know a lot of people say that you're not supposed to have fun. Well, you know what? And I've said this a lot lately. Fuck you. I like it. There is nothing in the Bible that says you cannot enjoy yourself in church. Nothing. People just insert rod up ass when they go through the door, and sometimes don't even take it out when they get out the door. So, you know, it's just, it was the best wedding I think she could have ever had, or ever hoped for. And that may be saying a lot, you know, because, well, you know, granted, she wouldn't have wanted her mom, her grandma, to die. Honestly, she would have loved for her to be there. And in her grandma's own way, like the pastor said, she made sure she could do it. She made sure that she would be able to be at her granddaughter's wedding. So, in a way, I can't really fault it, you know? It's just one of those deals where I really don't think that it could have been done in any other way. So, I went over to the reception and had a wonderful time talking to a couple of people. Claire's supposed to try and help me get in touch with one lady I was talking to. Then came back home. Saw Randy while I was up there. Tried to see Patrick. I could not get a hold of Patrick at all. Saw Kyle and Jet Jones. It was wonderful talking to them again. My dad and Kyle got hooked up, and hopefully he'll remember this, that Kyle, my dad's done a book on the Sioux Uprising of Minnesota called Blood on the Prairie, and Kyle was going to do a play about it. And Dad's like, okay. So he's going to be sending up a complimentary copy of probably Revenge of Little Crow, because I think Revenge of Little Crow would actually be better, because the difference between Blood on the Prairie and Revenge of Little Crow is a lot of work. He had songs, he had things that he had researched and put in that they took out for some reason. I don't like it. I really don't. But that was fun. Randy and I, of course, the good thing with Randy is Randy doesn't change and I really don't change either. So we could go without seeing each other for 10 years. Hour and a half, we're all caught up. You know, it doesn't take long for us. So that was pleasant. Got to take some pictures with my camera, or with Jerry's camera. Unfortunately, the first roll was in black and white, and people won't develop it. The second roll got eaten by the camera, and I think I know why now. Instead of for anybody who's run a 35mm camera, you pull the film over and you lay it over the roll that rolls on. Well, this one got stuck under, and I think it snagged. So the next one is over, but of course I haven't used it yet, so don't know. We'll try it. But it was a good vacation. It really was. I really enjoyed it. The usual "are you gonna move back" stuff started. Sorry, you know me, I can't multitask. And, I'm not going to lie, I would love to move back to Minnesota, but there are a lot of things stopping me. Number one, the main one for me, my doctor. Where I live now in Wenatchee, my doctor is 5 minutes away. It's nice for me, for somebody who has been on the end of, I might have to move a couple of things, because I'm just going to be talking too long. I'm going to go right over my next, I've already gone over my first break. So I guess the Gore News is going to be what should have been the break. Postponed. There we go. We'll put him in here. There. Whoa! Okay. There we go. But, when I was growing up, when I was living in Mankato, Eagle Lake, Madison Lake, I went to the Mayo Clinic in Rochester. It's like an hour and a half drive. Not too bad. Then we moved to Sioux Falls, and through some gross joke, not only increased the distance we were away from Minnesota, but then we increased the distance we had to go. We had to go from Sioux Falls to the Twin Cities. And that one stuck until I left. I just didn't like it. I went to see Dr. Swayman, who is a very capable person, but he knows it. Or he seemed to, from me. And I didn't like it. I didn't feel comfortable. Well, here, my doctor's name is Dr. Garver. Sweet man. Has always been up front with me. I've learned a lot. And I like it. If I had to move, and the good thing is Mom has had, well, this isn't good, but it's good. My mom had a seizure type situation last year, and since then she's been going to a neurological person, and she's mentioned tuberous sclerosis to this person, and she's acted like, well, yeah, I know what that is, so there's a possibility that I might be able to go and, go into the neurology area of the Mankato one. Now, whether I lived in Montevideo or whether I lived in Mankato, I'd rather go to Mankato. Because I have a reason for that. You know, Mom and Dad, Mary and Jerry, Richard and Kathy, they all live in Mankato. You know, so yeah, I'd have some support, kind of. But the ideal thing would be my doctor is there. You know, even if I lived in Montevideo, I would much rather go with Mankato. And there's two reasons for this. Number one, I could use it as an excuse to go visit my folks. Number two, it's a smaller town. There's not as much chance of being lost. It's just, it's a lot calmer. So, I don't know. I looked at some of the apartments. There were a couple. Of course, they weren't renting at the time, but they were. They had rented. The cheapest one I found was like four, or the best one I found was like $445 for a one bedroom, or $465 for a two. You know, if I could afford it, I'd go in for a two bedroom apartment. So, but I have state medical. I'm on food stamps right now. You know, I don't know. I'd have to check and see if that would carry over. I'd have to run the situation by Social Security. Say, okay, this is where I am now. If I moved here with this rent, what would my thing be so I would know what I'd be getting into? And especially if I didn't keep food stamps. I mean, food stamps is basically what feeds me now. I have $100 a month in food stamps, and basically that feeds me. I mean, I've gotten some food since I've been back, but that feeds me for the most part. And you know, usually I'll spend like $30 or $40 if I need some at the beginning of the month. But after that, it's all food stamps. $100 feeds me for 4 weeks. Which is not easy, let me tell you. I do not have a very big choice of food. I have hot dogs, sometimes hamburgers, French bread pizzas, Jimmy Dean sausage biscuits, regular sausage links, sandwiches, of course, sometimes tomato soup. You know, very, very simple stuff. So, but I'm not going to lie, I would love to live in Minnesota again. Especially with what's going on around in Wenatchee. You know, not anything with the family here. It's just with what I'm involved in. So, I don't know. We'll see. Fuck it. I'm not going to worry about half hour and half hour. I'll just keep it going as we go. Foamy the Squirrel starting off our little triple play here this week with a radio offer. Again, I don't even need to say not safe for work, but I'll say not safe for work. It's Foamy. When has he ever been safe for work? Zero Punctuation with Yahtzee reviewing Crackdown 2, and Uncle Jay from today, and the word of the day today is shake up. So sit back, relax, enjoy, and yeah, just kind of like that.
Up next, a special message from our sponsor.
Do you have old souls just laying around your house? Need cash?
Yes, I do.
Well, our Souls for Cash program is simple. Just send in your old souls and we'll cut you a check immediately for full market value of your used, unused, partially used, or sin-riddled soul. Why waste your time dealing with shady characters in back alleys who appear in a puff of smoke? Our program will let you sell your soul in the comfort of your own home without the unpleasant smell of sulfur and burning flesh.
Oh, I hate that! Giving an article.
Just send your soul with a self-addressed stamp envelope to Souls for Cash, P.O. Box 666-666, New Jersey. For those affiliates who are part of the Special Soul Stealers Club. Send in 10 or more souls and get a free decoder ring. See website for details for what we do to your soul.
What?
I need your soul.
Sorry, already mailed it out this morning to that Souls for Cash thing I heard on the radio.
Crap on it. I really want to get decoder ring.
I'm only two away from getting my decoder ring.
How'd you get so many?
Because guys are stupid and they'll do anything for a blowjob.
What do they do with your souls once they get them anyway?
I don't know. They said mine was going to be gang raped by demons for all eternity or something. Come all over my ass. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. My rent's paid for the next month, so that's all I care about. Everything else is just petty details.
Oh, that would be a good name for a Tom Petty documentary. Petty details.
Shut up.
Oh, please give me your soul, because I need a decoder ring. It's a wonderful thing that you put on your finger and only costs 10 souls. Give me your soul, I need a toy.
So let's return to the burning issue of state-sponsored superpowers. We've established that giving them to the armed forces is a terrible idea because soldiers only have two uses, killing people and being the main characters in gritty coming-of-age dramas. But perhaps a better idea would be to give superpowers to the local law enforcement. Admittedly, yes, it would only be truly essential if the community was in a state of constant gang violence and martial law, or at the very least if there were major congestion problems, and at all other times they'd just be giving random breath tests at 60 miles an hour or returning stray dogs to the pound by flinging them over arm from half a mile away. But think of the boost to the tourist trade. Of course, if you go this route, you have to make doubly sure that they're not the sort of superpowers to make you go insane, because there's no worse publicity than Officer Hyperion going feral during a photo op and decapitating five Japanese children with a single throw of his hat. Crackdown 2 is the sequel to Crackdown. See, this is the kind of vigorous research that makes me the hard-hitting professional journalist I am. A sandbox game from the early days of the Xbox 360 about superpowered policemen tasked to bring down three highly organized criminal gangs by punching all their members off of high places. But now it's sequel time and we've got a whole new city to... Oh no, wait, it's precisely the same city. I suspect the level design team just took the old world map from Crackdown 1, sprinkled bits of it with soot, then clocked off to go home and weep into their timesheets. And instead of three gangs, now there's just one. And instead of the intense boss battles with gang leaders, now there's just mutants gobbing on your shoes. I miss the days when a sequel having more stuff in it than the original was something that was taken as read. I thought that was the formula. First game makes the money, second game uses the money to expand. Usually it's not till the third game that you really knuckle down to start ruining everything. The plot, such as it is, involves you, an agent of the agency called Agent, sent into the city some years after the defeat of the gangs in the first game to take on a revolutionary cell called The Cell, and also contend with a race of mutant zombie freaks called The Freaks. Who the fuck is in charge of naming things in Pacific City? Probably on reflection, the same people who came up with Pacific City. Anyway, I don't think it's too much of a spoiler to say that the agency is secretly evil. I mean, when you have a superpowered civil authority that operates out of a building the size of the Earth Mother's most exotic sex aid, fighting a scrappy civilian revolutionary group in the inner city slums, one's sympathies are very rarely expected to side with the former. But this never really comes to anything. The plot in Crackdown 2 is like a light shower of rain taking place outside a prison cell with a very small window. Occasionally you can look over and catch a little glimpse of it, but it's probably not that amazing. The only character with a face and a name is the rebel leader, and she only shows up at the very end. And by the way, when the enemy leader an attractive young woman, that's a good sign you're on the wrong side. If fiction has taught me anything, the righteous ones tend to be better looking, and generally white. Really though, Crackdown 2 doesn't have a story. It has a setting, but no structure. It's less like riding a water slide from a beginning to an end, and more like wallowing in a big jacuzzi full of gunfights. Your sole mandatory objective is to activate a number of magic problem-solving devices that you defend for a few minutes from waves of zombies before it explodes and wipes them all out like World of Warcraft subscribers in direct sunlight. Almost a set piece from a Gears of War game, but repeated about 10 times. The world is also full of race challenges, enemy strongholds, and hidden collectibles, all of which have no purpose but stat building. And yes, it's fun to jump around on rooftops collecting orbs like a reverse Easter bunny. Yes, it's fun to power slide through crowds of zombies as their disembodied privates roll over your windshield like floppy hailstones. Yay, it may indeed be fun to kill a rebel by throwing the corpse of his estranged daughter at his head, but it's a fleeting kind of fun while you still have 5 million other rebels shooting at you, and not all of them have family on hand. Without structure, all the game can do is wait for you to get bored and do the same thing one always ends up doing when a sandbox runs out of appeal: climb to the highest point in the map and hurl yourself into the sea. Crackdown 1 was a great game. It too had a strong emphasis on fucking around, but when you were ready to grow up and behave, there was a structured challenge curve in which you besiege and kill everyone on the Kingpin's Christmas card list until the Kingpin's own defenses are weakened enough to risk taking on. An important goal makes fucking around all the sweeter when you can imagine your administrator impotently shaking his gnarled fist as you waste another hour throwing trains at children. Crackdown 2's critical path is so unabashedly token that fucking around is all we have. I can only assume the developers used all the time they saved by copy-pasting the previous world map to sit around flicking each other's ears all day. You couldn't have added some different set pieces or some different enemy types. At the very least, you could have fixed Crackdown 1's control control issues. Now, the auto target that remains stubbornly glued to the Volkswagen Beetle next to the dude who just fired 3 health bars worth of homing missiles at you, or the temperamental ledge-grabbing system that often leaves you falling down the front of a building praying as the brickwork sands off your face. Crackdown 2 seems to subscribe to the school of thought that having a multiplayer focus lets you skimp on content. See also Lost Planet 2 and that horrible Unreal Tournament Quake 3 Arena period of shooters that Half-Life thankfully rescued us from. To go back to this analogy, having a jacuzzi by yourself is nice if a bit indulgent, but add more people and now you're sharing everyone's filth and have to be careful you don't put your hand on anyone's dick. I've got nothing against multiplayer as a concept, but you shouldn't try to make it carry a game because there are logistical problems. Me and my friends have enough trouble splitting the bill after pizza, and navigating labyrinths of lobbies and servers is rarely worth the effort when everyone would rather just stick Guitar Hero on. And joining random online games is like walking into an aviary full of nitrous oxide and trying to play Scrabble with the kookaburras while they stand around having sex with your mum.
Hey, boys and girls, it's time for Uncle Jay Explains the News. Now here's the guy who helps little minds understand big news stories, Uncle Jay.
Hi, boys and girls. Well, it's August, and the news is so hot. The stories are so important that cable news is even covering some of them. President Obama's appearance on The View was importantly bad, according to the people who hate everything he does. They said that a president pandering to a daytime talk show audience 3 months before a midterm election is just creepy. A president should only do that 5 weeks before his own re-election, and not talk about politics, just talk about spanking. Well, Uncle Jay's news word for this week is shake up. This, of course, means any kind of sudden change, for better or for worse. For better, the oil in the Gulf is dissolving faster than expected, proving once again that government predictions are always wrong. For worse, thousands of secret documents about the Afghanistan war were leaked, showing how badly the war is going. And apparently that was a secret. And for better or for worse were the vows of the shakeup in the Clinton family. Chelsea got married. Chelsea wore a white dress. Hillary wore a red dress. Nobody wore a blue dress. Snooki got arrested as a promo for the new season of Jersey Shore. And I had to do this, boys and girls, because they couldn't get President Obama to be a guest on their show. Well, our Congress might have a shake-up pretty soon, even before November. Charlie Rangel, who started in Congress around the time the Beatles broke up, might not survive now long enough to see the scheduled comeback of Beavis and Butthead. Mr. Rangel was in charge of stuff like making our tax laws, but apparently he didn't report or pay a lot of his taxes. And as we all know, congressmen are not allowed to do that, only presidential appointees. And American Idol has a very big happening right now. Ellen is leaving. We still don't know who's going to replace Simon. They fired what's-her-name. And all kinds of people now are rumored to be the next possible judges. It's all very upsetting. But one person is probably pretty happy that all this distraction is keeping them from asking, what's he still doing here? And now it's time to answer one of your news questions. This week it comes from Eddie in Syracuse. Hi, Eddie. Eddie writes, Dear Uncle Jay, that new Chevy Volt looks kind of cool, but it's really expensive. Do you think people will buy such a small car for so much? Thanks, Eddie. Well, it's not what you or I think. It's what the government thinks, because they're in charge of Chevy now. And since we recently learned that the government didn't notice a guy stealing over 10,000 secret documents, and that they fired a federal official based on an edited YouTube clip, and that they can't account for about $9 billion in cash in Iraq, and that they can't keep track of their own homeland security system, and that they misidentified several hundred graves at Arlington National Cemetery. I'm sorry, now it's over 6,000 graves. I wonder. Don't forget, you can see more at www.UncleJayExplains.com. Check back every Monday when Uncle Jay explains the news. And remember, a great kid is great news.
Thanks to Bozo Newshawk Fred McKinney for sending in today's report from the International File in New Westminster, Canada. What is it with the new things? There's like new things from Europe all over the place. Bozo Paul Wilkinson knew the local Starbucks did a lot of business, so he thought it'd be a good place to rob. Guess he didn't take into account what a wide variety of customers that Starbucks attracts. He walked in, threw a can on the cashier, and demanded all the money in the register. Unfortunately, he did not notice the two uniformed police officers who were standing at the counter waiting for their order. Oops, he's under arrest. God. You know what? I think I know what my segment would be. I'd do a week's worth of Bozo Criminal. That would be cool. Okay, so what have we got? We've got, boop. And sorry about leaving the thing on. I didn't even notice it. It's the music is supposed to go down when the microphone is active, but it didn't, so sorry about that.
Well, let me think about it. If, as an apparently non-corporeal universal concept, I can think.
Robert Louis Stevenson has the thought of the day. We are all travelers in the wilderness of this world, and the best we can find in our travels is an honest friend. True. If you find an honest friend, you know you're set for a long time. It's a good thing to have. Podcast notes. Random listener from is in Santa Clara, California, like literally in the middle of the mountains, with one download. International Nicole Highway in the Marina Center, Singapore, with one. Total downloads this week, 147. Total downloads in the U.S., 8. Again, you can see why I'm a bit depressed. Country, China, with 110. Should move over there. Download single, Our L-Shaped Field is back. Between Brainerd and DeGraff, Kansas, with 4. And international, Danyang Street, Tapri, Japan. Potomatic rank, 1238. Yes, we dropped a lot, but that's because I wasn't doing anything for the last month. And honestly, I don't think we'll ever get back up before I kill the podcast. It's come and gone. I think the highest I had was in the 300s, which is pretty damn respectable for Podomatic. It's pretty respectable. Let's see. What was next? AOL. I got some good news when I came back. I got a letter from AOL. Way back in 2001, I think. I want to say 2001. Maylinda and I had stopped working for ZDNet back when they were just getting back before even Tech TV. We were there when Tech TV launched, and were hosts for it for a while in the chat room. Angela usually Maylinda. Fuck it, who cares? I'm using real names. Ain't nobody listening to this anyway. Angela. Usually did the shows like Screensavers and that kind of thing. She sat in those chat rooms. I sat in the lobby, and I liked it in the lobby. Yeah, there were a couple of times I wouldn't have minded going up, and I did during the show sometimes if I wasn't working. But it seemed a lot more laid back in the lobby. It was a lot nicer. The good thing was everybody was on a named basis. It was first and last name in there, at least in virtual places, and I loved it. So, in fact, for virtual places, for ZDNet, I was the last official host on duty. I went from 9 to midnight or 10 to midnight, and when I think Angela was the one on after me. Or something. I don't know if she was the immediate one, but we were night owls at that point. I left. She tried to get on, wouldn't let her on, and lo and behold, I was the last official host on duty for ZDNet's Virtual Places server. It's kind of cool, but on the other end, it's just like, damn. You know, because I love Virtual Places. They're still going. It's a subscription service now. It's like $4 a month. Or if you want a lot of accounts, it's like 15, which isn't bad for a chat server, but it's just not as popular as it used to be. I did have a subscription up until a couple of years ago. And every now and then I'll go and check on it and see if I want to go back. But anyway, after that, we went to AOL, we started chatting around, and I found myself in a room, thanks to somebody I'd met in one of the rooms, called The Writer's Block, for the group The Amazing Instant Novelist, who was a guy who could apparently chop out short stories at the drop of a hat. And so I went in, I started talking, I applied to be a host, and I was host Novel Vertigo for many years. In fact, I was there when they closed the community leader program. I was still hosting at that point. After that, I abandoned AOL. I mean, I've still got some names on there, but I'm on a free account. I don't think I've checked them in a year. I just don't have any desire to. So, I went and I just kind of plopped it. It's like, fuck it. I don't want it, you know? I don't want anything to do with it. Because in my mind, it was a bad idea, because hosts, anybody, especially Second Life, will tell you this. If you do not have a GM like I am, if you do not have a host of some kind in the sim, it's just going to be anarchy. You're going to have all sorts of problems. And I'm not talking mainland. Mainland, they don't give a shit. I'm talking about private-owned sims. And so I left. And year later, 2 years later, somebody brought up a civil suit against AOL Time Warner for back pay. And Angela didn't get hers in time. I put mine in just like, fuck it, you know. It was known to be voluntary, but I think more of it was not so much that. It was that they had the balls to just cancel it, and they didn't tell anybody. It just stopped. Well, I think they did, but it was only like, we did not have much warning at all. If it was like a week or two, it was a lot. And, yeah, you know, 2 weeks' notice, blah, 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 I get all that. But that's for businesses wherein you will be fired, somebody will come in and pick up your load. Nobody was going to be doing that now. It still doesn't make sense to me. Anyway, so we went, we did that, and then when I came back on Thursday, I came and got my mail, sorted through it, and I found a check for a little over $1,700. So I stayed up, I deposited it, I zeroed out the account on my household card, and I have fully paid off my student loan. And as of right now, even with all that, and I bought other things too, but more little shit, you know, like groceries and, you know, bought a movie or something, but, you know, it's very little. This is before I've gotten my Social Security check, by the way, which is like $760. Right now, I have in there $891, so almost $900, but I've paid off completely my student loan, which was $437. I'm now completely free of that expense. I've paid off household, which was $380. I've got another bill coming up with them this month, but strictly interest is like $8. What I'm going to do with my household card, I think, is I'm going to turn it into a gas card. Anybody around here needs gas? They don't have the money? We go out, we put it on the household card. It's going to be a gas card, and that way I can pay off the balance every month. It won't be much more than $50 or $60. And with the $50 I was sending to student loan no longer being there, it won't be an issue. I can keep my balance low. So, which is the idea. In fact, the first one I got, and I don't remember who, I think it was an associate's one, when I was living in Montevideo. It was like a $200 card, but that's all it was. It was gas. You know, it never got much more over 100. So it was really cool. But yeah, I'm just going to enjoy that. That's the thing that I'm looking at for going to C2 with. And honestly, this is looking pretty possible. I looked up, he told me the closest station is LAX. Round trip. Granted, I'd have to find a way to Seattle. Round trip is $102. Pretty fucking good, I think. So, then we have, I looked at hotels. There's a hotel in Hollywood called Super 8, Los Angeles, West Hollywood, Hollywood, for $69 a night. So now you're looking at about a little over $170. And then his, you know, the fee for that, you know, to get in is $15, we'll say. So there's $200, figure another $100 for, you know, food, and I'd probably have to rent a car or something. $300. Now, the pitch is, I would be going down at 9 in the morning. Probably what I'd do, I'm going to take another look here at something. We're going to go from Wenatchee to Seattle and see what time that pulls in. Because if I could just stop the train, that'd be perfect. No, I would just miss it. It's only $23, though. It's not that bad. So I would need to find a way. Wonder if I could Greyhound it. Although I don't think so. Yeah, they don't have... I don't think they have... See, that's the bitch, is I would have to find a way to get from Seattle. Or from Wenatchee to Seattle. From Seattle and back, now wouldn't be a major issue. But the round trip is $102. So it's only showing me, I think that's right. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Actually, I could do it the 15th. Because, see, I thought I'd be leaving late. So, the 15th. Then we'd get there on the 16th. Because what you do... is I'd leave at 9:45 in the morning, and I'd get there... Whoa! It says I'd get there at 9 p.m. at night. Okay, so we'll go back. I read that wrong. So yeah, I'd need to stay for 2 days. So let's, and then LAX to Seattle. Oh, somebody was coming in. Yay, Dad's in. But yeah, Dad, just a little update. I don't know, I think I called you guys about the AOL thing. A comic that I've been watching and listening to online for many years is having a show with other comics at the Comedy Shop in West Hollywood, September 16th. And I was thinking of using some of the money to go down and see him. Some of the money I got from, let's see, departs 10:15 and arrives at 8:45. Okay, yeah, so that's not bad. Well, yeah, of course, because it pulls in. Okay. I might be able to just find a way to park my car over there. Anyway. What's there besides a billion people? Well, I'll let you listen. I can't talk and type. Anyway, that was AOL and paying bills and all that. Very happy that I don't have to worry about my student loan anymore. I finally paid that off. It took like 2 years. But I got it paid off. So now, I'm going to go into wrestling for a moment, and I know that's about as popular as talking about a venereal disease to most people, but I've said it before, I'll say it again, fuck you. This is one of my last shows, I'm not doing it anymore, so I feel a little bit more free with this. And no, Dad, I'm not saying that to you, I'm saying that to the people who aren't commenting. Basically, I'm saying that to all the people who download it and don't tell me shit about what they think about it. So, I don't care anymore. It's a very nice feeling. Anyway, I read a little thing on Lords of Pain today, and I've got the interview up, where they're interviewing a guy called Drew McIntyre, who's a Scottish wrestler. Came over with Sheamus, who's their world champion right now. And they were talking about him being the chosen one in his storyline, where Vince McMahon supposedly has a hard-on for Drew McIntyre. And he said, there's a lot of hype for a good reason. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I believe in my head, but I feel that when I was home in Scotland, I was watching some of the guys in TV talking about how they didn't get an opportunity, blah, blah, blah. Drew McIntyre was the chosen one, and he gets these opportunities, then I think about it from my point of view. I think, wait a minute, and I honestly believe this, if an actor in Hollywood has been an actor for 20 years, and some new kid comes along perfect for the role, he's good looking, he's right, he's foreign, he's got a sweet accent, this is the guy they're going to want. We don't know if he's got the tools yet, but they're going to give him the opportunity to see how he does. And I really think that's the problem with wrestling right now. Yes, Dad, that is a lot better than gambling. I forgot to mention that. I actually made money on gambling. We went to Mystic Lake. Yes, I know I'm verging. Like I said, I do this a lot. If you aren't used to it, you only got 4 more episodes of it. So, 3 more episodes, actually. 7, 8, no, 4. We went to Mystic Lake, and I played, it was a 5-card poker game, and what you did was you had 4 cards, you had 4 5-hand cards up above, you know, 2 rows of 2, and then at the bottom you had a 5-card run, and you had jacks, or you had jokers with it for wild cards, and what it was is you would get five cards on the bottom row. I got three queens on this particular hand. So when I saved the three queens, now on all three, or on all five, those three queens are showing. So which means I automatically get a payout because I got three of a kind. Then I hit draw, and what happens then is it draws for all five. The first initial deal is only for the bomb one. The second one is for all five. So I went, I hit the thing, and on the main hand showed up two jokers. So I had five of a kind, and I got a 200 line payout on a quarter machine. So I ended up with, at that point, the highest I won, because you got a little ticket with it, I think it was $58, and I started with 20. I ended up with 16, I think, when I came back. But still, that's good money. So, and I had 50 in my pocket from what my dad paid me that I never even touched. So, you know, it was really cool. But yeah, I think that's part of the problem with wrestling now is too many people, and I hear this a lot about Sheamus, that people don't like him, he's too cocky, he hasn't put his time into the business, he doesn't respect others. Number one, he's a heel. You expect a heel to respect other people? I'm sorry, that's not, especially in kayfabe, that's not what they do. I mean, granted, the years of kayfabe are long gone, but I think you're a good heel, and I think you're a better heel if behind the scenes nobody likes you. It just gives you more fuel, because then they're not acting. You know, then they want to beat this little snot-nosed punk up, you know, into a pulp, because he doesn't respect them. Well, he's the champ. Why should he? You know, I love Sheamus. I think Sheamus is one of the best things to hit wrestling in a long time. Now, granted, I have a thing for redheads. Okay? So, hey, he gets bonus points there right away. Although he's pale as hell. I mean, even Anne, who was a lady that I met in Votech, was a redhead. I don't think she was this pale. This kid is pale. But it really is awesome to see him on there. I just wish that the WWE and TNA, ROH is not like this. ROH does not have many people who are, who shall we say, hog the spotlight. That's why I like ROH. ROH is mostly newer people. You know, they got some people in their 30s and whatnot, but you're going to have that. I'd rather have 30s than like WWE is in their 40s and 50s with some people. And a couple of people are probably in their 60s. You don't need that. So, that's my opinion anyway. I don't think I'll ever get back fully into wrestling again. I don't see it really happening. However, that doesn't mean that I don't enjoy it. I enjoy Ring of Honor. I went out of my way to get HD channels so I could watch Ring of Honor. I consider it a very worthwhile buy. If I can, what I'd like to do is do a podcast on Tuesdays or Monday nights talking about the results of Ring of Honor. I don't know. I'll see what I can do. But honestly, that's something, if I could do something for Who's Slamming Who, I'd do an ROH report, because ROH does not have anybody talking about them except Jim Cornette, who talks about other things too, which is good. Jim is a good person to listen to. But I think Ring of Honor is good enough now that they fully deserve their own segment. They really do. So, yeah, I'll check out. Maybe I'll email Tommy Fierro. I actually do have his email, because I was thinking of one at one point, and I just didn't know what to do, and I didn't have the money at the time. Just pitch it to him, say, would you, you know, I don't know what the money would be, but would you mind if I tried a run on doing an ROH report? because I think ROH fully deserves it. They've got the TNA Minute. They've got several shows on the WWE. They don't have anything strictly targeted to Ring of Honor. And I think they should. I think it well deserves it now. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to play Tim Minchin's The Good Book, because my throat is really dry right now. Then we'll come back, we'll talk about some games, and then I'm going to sign off and I'm going to upload this thing. So sit back, relax, enjoy it, and I'll be back in a moment.
Life is like an ocean voyage, and our bodies are the ships. And without a moral compass, we would all be cast adrift. So to keep us on our bearings, the Lord gave us a gift. And like most gifts you get, it was a book. I only read one book, but it's a good book, don't you know? I act the way I act because the good book tells me so. If I want to know how to be good, it's to the good book that I go. Because the good book is a book, and it is good, and it's a book. I know the good book's good because the good book says it's good. I know the good book knows it's good because a really good book would. You wouldn't cook without a cookbook, and I think it's understood. You can't be good without a good book because it's good, and it's a book, and it is good for cooking. I tried to read some other books, but I soon gave up on that. The paragraphs ain't numbered and they complicate the fact. I can't read Harry Potter because they're worshipping false gods and that. And Dumbledore's a poster, and that's bad because it's not good. Morality is written there in simple white and black. I feel sorry for you heathens, got to think about all that. Good is good and evil's bad and goats are good and pigs are crap. You'll find which one is which in the good book because it's good and it's a book and it's a book. I had a cat, she gave birth to a litter. The kittens were adorable and they made my family laugh. But as they grew they started misbehaving. So I drowned the little fuckers in the bath. When the creatures in your care start being menaces, the answers can be found out there in Genesis. Chapter 6, verse 5, 7, hee-haw. Swing your partner by the hand. Have a baby if you can. But if the voices in your head say to sacrifice your kid, to satiate your loving gods, that is for a dead baby blood. It's simple faith the book demands. So raise that knife off in your hand. Before the good book made us good, there was no good way to know if the thing was good or not. Good or kind of touch and go. So God decided he'd give pride in allegoric prose ago. And so he wrote a book, and it was generally well received. The Telegraph said this God is reminiscent of the Norse. The Times said kind of turgid, but I like the bit with horses. The Mail said lots of massacres are violent to a divorce. If you only read one book this year, then this one is a book. And it is good, and it's a book. Yeehaw, swing your daughter by the hand. But if she gets raped by a man and refuses then to marry him, stone her to death. If you just close your eyes and block your ears to the accumulated knowledge of the last 2,000 years, then morally, guess what? You're off the hook. And thank Christ, you only have to read one book. Just because the book's contents were written generations hence by hairy desert dwelling gents squatting in their dusty tents. Just because what heaven said was said before that leavened bread. Just as Jesus couldn't breathe doesn't mean now we should need. When manipulating human genes to alleviate pain, vitally, when deciding whether it's wrong or right, to help the dying let go of life, or to stop a pregnancy when it's just a tiny blastocyst. There's no reason why we should take a look at any other book but the good book, cause it's good and it's a book, and it's a book, and it's quite good. Bye.
really like Tim mention. Tim is a classic case for me because he is, he's Australian. And I have this thing about, for some odd reason, latching on to things that I can't easily find. So, it's just, I kind of find it humorous in a way, because at some point it's like, I'm going to have to really start getting into, you know, American things, because Minchin doesn't come over to America, like, ever. And I'd love to see him, but I sure as hell ain't going over to Australia. I'm sorry. I want to go there someday, but not for a concert. It's kind of like L.A. I may go to L.A. to see Two perform, but that's something. I mean, I've known Two Griffin since 2002, 2003. I've been listening to him steadily for 8 years. You know, Two Cents 1.0, Two Cents 2.0, Two Cents 2.2. I've listened to them all. I followed his career a lot. I've tried to get to him when he was up here in Washington. I've just never been able to do it. And it's like, you know what? I've got the money. I've got the means. I'm going to try and get down there, you know. I'll end up being down there for a day or two, it sounds like. And it's a 30-hour train trip. But the train, you know, I like the train. I don't like the time, but if I'm going to be somewhere for 30 hours, I'd rather it be on a train. You know, it's just me. But, and thanks for the stock idea, Dad. I was going to try and talk to you about that. I couldn't figure out how to look it up today. Dad came in, and you know what? Since Dad's the only one in there, screw it. We're talking about stock. So maybe somebody will read back through the history, find it out, invest, and make $1 million. That'd be cool. If it's Reap, he already said he'll share it. So, hey, Reap. I'm going to be doing the stupid little thing that all people do. I'm going to point up even though you can't see me. So it's not like he's listening to this anyway. But, I've got a couple of games I wanted to talk about that I'm going to sign out. I've gotten back into Full Pets. Basically because I like it. I've only got 8 pets on there. I had to go back, and this is the part I don't like. I have to go back. I can't do mobile anymore because now the food pets have to be cleaned up after. They make messes. It's like, who the hell thought this would be a good idea? Granted, it's not hard. But it's just one of those things like, no, you know, now you're getting a little too real. This is part of the reason those of us who play this go on here, so we don't have to clean up after them. But it's very fun. I still enjoy it. I only do it once a day. But, you know, it's not something that you really need to dedicate all your attention to. So, Facebook, I've gone from my multiples and multiples. I think I had like 40 games I was playing at one point. I'm down to 3. Mayan Pyramid, which is a card game similar to Pyramid Solitaire. It's a pyramid shape. Instead of matching 2 cards up that total 13, you're matching up cards that total 11 because you don't have face cards in this. But it's very fun. I enjoy it a lot. Desktop Defender. Always playing Desktop Defender. I try to play it at least once a day. And Petville. I check on my pet once a day. Same with, you know, Foo Pets. But that's about it, you know. If you want to look me up and friend me on Facebook so we can play some of those games, just look up Raving Rendell. I'll show up there. Matt Ullman is the name on there. But looking up, I made sure that looking up Raving Rendell would bring me up. So, yeah. 3:36, it's a good time, and I need to leave, so I'm going to hop off here. And Dad, I know you weren't listening before. I'm going to try and call you. I have to call on my cell phone right now because the handheld base, the receiver is dead. I don't know what it is. The little LED screen is completely blank. the little message that light is blinking, but it does not work. So I don't know what's doing it, but we'll try and figure it out. So I will talk to you later. Here is Pepper by the one of the most unfortunate named bands, the Butthole Surfers. And yes, this is one band I'm just not brave enough to check and see where the origin of that name came from. I don't think I ever will be. But it is a very neat tune. Like I said, it's called Pepper. And I will talk to you next week for show 197.
Sifting through my ashes. Some will fall in love with life and drink it from a fountain that is pouring like an avalanche coming down the mountain.
I don't mind the sun sometimes, the images it shows. I can taste you on my lips and smell you in my clothes. Cinnamon and sugary and softly spoken lies. You never know just how you look through other people's eyes.
Death. He caught a nasty virus. And then there was the ever-present football player rapist. They were all in love with dying. They were doing it in Texas. Ollie caught a bullet, but it only hit his leg. Well, it should have been a better shot. Got him in the head. They were all in love with dying. They were drinking from a fountain that was pouring like an avalanche coming down the mountain.
I don't know.